Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
Welcome to Stoma for Life, the Bowel Cancer Awareness and Life as an Ostomate radio show and podcast. Your host, Rafaela, is here to debunk myths, clear up misconceptions, and help you approach the subject that so many people are afraid to talk about in a positive manner. Listen in for a new perspective. Stoma for Life on UK Health Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Stoma for Life on UK Health Radio, where we explore the stories and experiences that shape our health and well-being. Today, I have a very special guest for you, whose work brings hope and healing to so many. Imagine facing the uncertainty of upcoming bowel surgery, living with a chronic condition like Crohn's or colitis, or adjusting to life with an ostomy. These situations are not just physical challenges, they touch every part of your life, including your mental and emotional health. Our guest today understands this personally and works tirelessly to help people manage their fears, concerns, and the often unspoken psychological burden that comes with these experiences. She is a dedicated psychotherapeutic gestalt therapist with extensive experiences in the NHS gastrocolorectal field and is now in private practice. She specializes in helping people navigate these tough journeys, focusing on the present moment and understanding how past experiences influence our feelings and behaviors today. But it's not just about therapy. It's about the stories of real people facing real fears, uncertainties about upcoming surgeries, concerns about body image, and the impact of a cancer diagnosis. It's about those moments when you pretend you're okay, even when you're not, or finding the strength to actually say, "I'm not okay." Our guest believes in the power of group therapy, specifically tailored for ostomates, offering a safe space that's different from typical support groups. It's a place where true healing happens, where you can share, connect, and grow with others who understand your journey. So get comfortable and let's start a conversation that promises to be as revealing as it is comforting. We're going to talk about the fears and hopes of those living with serious medical conditions and how therapy can make a difference. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss this. We'll be right back after this short commercial break.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Stoma for Life. I'm so excited to introduce our guest today. Every one of us has a story. Here is a true remarkable one. When I first read about her journey, I was absolutely blown away. She has faced so many serious conditions herself, yet she has always pulled through, emerging stronger each time. Her personal experience has shaped her into the incredible person she is today, helping others navigate their own health challenges with empathy and understanding. With a background in the NHS and now in private practice, she brings a wealth of knowledge and a deeply compassionate perspective to her work. She helps her clients understand and manage their feelings, whether they're dealing with the fear of our upcoming surgery or adjusting to life with an ostomy. She's here to talk about the importance of mental health in these journeys and to share her insight on how we can all find a path to healing. I'm thrilled to introduce our special guest, Kerry Hellman. It's a true honour to have you on the show, Kerry. Welcome.
Oh, thank you, Raphael. It's really lovely to be here. And I'm looking forward to speaking with you and your audience.
Yes, so am I. Now, as I said, every journey brings a story. And one like yours is truly inspiring. Can you perhaps share with our listeners how you actually became a therapist and why you chose to dedicate your work to helping ostomates?
Okay, so to tell you my story about how I became a therapist, I've got to take you back about 25 years. I was 23. I had just had my son. I think he was about 6 months old. And I suddenly started to get a lot of pain. Didn't know what it was, never had that before. I was going to the toilet probably about 15 times a day and passing blood, thinking, okay, something's obviously wrong. I wasn't in a terribly supportive marriage, so it was very difficult for me. And my dad had just been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. So there was a lot going on. And I had left what was going on with me sort of on the back burner. But it got to a point where I thought, okay, you need to get this checked out. So I did. I was diagnosed with severe ulcerative colitis. And they did a colonoscopy and they found that the whole large bowel was ulcerated. So for about a year or so, we tried medication and it just wasn't working. The steroids, I'm sure people will get this, are a killer. And I hated it. I hated all these drugs. So my colorectal surgeon, who was absolutely great at the time, said to me, you need to have bowel surgery. And I'm thinking, okay, so you'll take it out. I had no idea. I think we've spoken before. I had no idea at that point, at that age, what a stoma was, what it meant for me, how life altering it would be. But all I knew was I didn't want this pain anymore. So had my surgery. And I think actually just prior to the surgery, it was very traumatic because nobody spoke to me about it. All I had was somebody walk into my room and say, could you just open your gown? I just need to mark you with a black marker pen. So I've got these marks all over my tummy thinking, what on earth is going on? And then I go into surgery. I have a stoma fashioned. I had a J pouch created inside and also a fistula. And I'm still nursing a baby. So this was a really, really difficult time for me. And fast forward to, I guess, 9-10 months later, maybe a little bit more, I was able to have it reversed. Okay. And I'm thinking, this is great. That's it, done, over. And I think from the mid-90s till around 2012, I had the odd issue with pouchitis. But from 2012 until literally February last year, I think I had surgery sometimes once or twice a year. So to date, I've had about 17 bowel and abdominal surgeries. And as you can imagine, the body's traumatized. Psychologically, your mental health is completely shot.
Yeah.
But I realized actually that when I went through my first surgery, that the fact that there was nothing, there was nobody to talk to. Nobody even said to me, let's go have a chat with a stoma nurse. Let's go and have a chat where, you know, you can go and talk to somebody here. There's, they'll be able to explain to you what's going to happen after. And I think it was so triggering for me that after I'd started to feel better, after I started to recover, there was something inside me that said, you know what, this is something that is missing. Something is missing here. What's going on? So again, I got to that point where everything was okay. I had those years where I, you know, an odd hiccup here and there, like everybody has. And I thought, right, I've got to train. And I've got to train to be a therapist, and then I want to specialize. And it was so important for me to work with people and patients who went through similar circumstances, situations to myself, because when you have, or you don't think you have anyone to go, it's okay, I get it, I understand what you're going through, it's a very lonely place to be in. Very, very lonely.
Yeah.
And I think for me, that was always going to be my vocation.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why I do what I do.
It's incredible. And I mean, I'm just thinking back, you said what, 25 years ago, obviously ostomies or talking about ostomies was absolutely, I'm sure, a no-go. Nobody would talk about it then. And even today, it's a sensitive subject. If I think back of my own bowel surgery and even in my immediate family and relatives, there are some that they actually didn't want to speak about it. I think they were scared of what I might say, or sometimes I think people think it's contagious.
Yeah.
If you talk about it.
Yeah.
And so I think with your background, you've got so much to give people that that come for counseling to you.
Mm. I think that mental health is a real issue now. Mm. And I think anybody that has fears, worries, stresses in their life, they can get to a point where they think, okay, I need to talk to somebody about this. But like you said, as an ostomate, sometimes as taboo as it isn't, as much as it was nowadays, it's still difficult for people to say, I can't cope, I hate myself, I am just not managing, and this is completely taking over my life.
Mm.
And I think that's very normal. It's very normal to feel those feelings, to have those fears. And one of the things that I think is very important is having a support network.
Mm.
And not everybody has a support network.
Yeah.
And not everybody has understanding partners, mm. or they might have young children, mm. or they might be out there feeling very isolated, very alone.
Mm.
And I think that's where a therapist potentially can come in and say, look, it's okay. This is your space to talk whatever you want to talk about. And knowing, I think in my situation, that although I don't disclose too much,
mm.
when I'm in a client setting, they'll know that I've had this surgery. They'll know that I have a stoma. And it's almost like, okay, she gets it. Makes a big difference.
I mean, I absolutely can relate. And it's so valuable to be very honest, I must first still meet a person face to face that has a stoma.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't yet to this day. Everybody that I've met was via Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
But there are so many ostomates out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like you said, a lot of them don't talk about it or are perhaps even in hiding, too ashamed of it.
Yeah.
And this is where you come in, and that's where you do so much valuable work.
Yeah.
Now, perhaps you can share some of the fears that ostomates do have on a daily basis and some of the things that you are presented with.
Yeah.
Not obviously giving away too much.
Of course. So I think what's important to note is it's pre-stoma surgery is just as difficult to navigate as is post. And I think the fears from a person who knows they're about to have the surgery can be so overwhelming. It's a matter of uncertainties, how this life-changing event is going to alter your life so completely and profoundly. And I think a consultant will tell you what's happening. You'll then see a stoma nurse who, even from my personal experience, they're amazing. They do fantastic work, as do the consultants. But consultants are, this is what's happening. This is what we need to do. See you on the day of surgery. Stoma nurses are fantastic as well. They will try and talk you through what they can. It's not as involved because that's more a post-surgery situation. Mm-hmm. But as you know, I've had a lot of meetings and conversations with stoma nurses, and as they say, they can't find the time as much as they want to sit and be there for every patient.
Yeah.
And I think that speaking to a therapist before you have surgery can prepare you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I think post-surgery, some of the fears are obviously learning to cope psychologically. Where is this going to go? With regard to an ileostomy or colostomy or even a urostomy, you know, you've got a situation where you have a bag on the outside of your body. It's not a natural thing. It's not something that our bodies were meant to have. Mm. And we're put in a situation where we no longer have an option. And it's basically, this is what's going to have to happen. And you've got to juggle all these emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And the practical side, I think, for things like this is, what happens if it leaks? What happens if someone smells it? What happens if someone sees that it's blown up? You know, what do I do? I mean, if I'm caught short somewhere.
Mm.
And sleeping again is also another thing. You have to find a different way of sleeping. And all these feelings sit under, ironically, a parasol, okay, that catapults a person through a grieving process. So you're grieving the loss of a life you once knew. You're grieving the loss of a part of yourself. And it's very difficult to try and get your head around all these feelings and emotions. And the thing about grief, even though you've been through the physical side of surgery, you can hold so much inside that it can cause things like body aches, such as joint pain, or back pain, or intense stiffness in certain parts of your bodies, or even headaches. You know, these are things that can magnify because of what's been going on. And when I sit with ostomy clients, the one thing that I find them talk about is there is the guilt. Should I have done something sooner? Should I have had this surgery? There's a lot of shame attached to it, which is, I'll never say to somebody, but you've nothing to feel shameful for. Mm. I'm very careful how I approach things like that. But the shame is something that is so deep rooted that it almost takes over. And I think that people that have an ostomy almost feel like it's the whole part of it's all encompassing. Yeah. When actually I try and get a client to a point or a patient to a point where actually the stoma is just a part. It's just a small part. It's a huge part psychologically,
mm-hmm.
but it's just a small part. And it's getting them to understand that it's okay to have these feelings. It's okay to hate the world. It's okay to hate yourself, but let's work out how we move forward from that.
I think it's quite important what you said, talking to them before surgery, because just thinking back of my own experience, I only had 6 days. I had no before. I met my stoma nurse literally 24 hours before the time where she went and she indicated where my stoma was going to be.
Yeah.
And I also had no idea. But looking back now, I think because everything happened so quickly, everything happens for a reason, and I'm quite okay with that. But if you know for months on end you're going to have stoma surgery, it's something that you have in your mind constantly. And I think to know that there is somebody out there like yourself that can talk you through it, that can prepare you mentally for it, where, like you said, stoma nurses are wonderful, but they've only got a limited time. You've got time at your hands, at your disposal, to speak to these people and prepare them mentally beforehand. And I mean, what a blessing to know that there is somebody out there, once I've come out of surgery, that I can share this with and that will understand. Because obviously, I'm just talking about myself here, but I have a family. I've got two children. I've got a husband. They also have their lives. You don't want to impose all your worries on top of their worries about yourself. So it's good to know that there's somebody out there that can take that that space that they need, or that very important topic that they've got to talk about.
Yeah. And I think it is interesting that you mentioned family, because I mentioned before about having support around you while you're going through it and while you're recovering and even further down the line. Mm. And I'm not taking the onus away from ostomates, but I think some people also forget that you have partners, children, carers who are looking after or being there or being that support for the person that's been through it and is going through it. And I've always maintained that as important as it is for somebody to see a therapist if they feel they need to, with regard to anything, but in this case, having had stoma surgery, I think that also it's important to remember there are family members that are struggling as well. And I don't want to sort of forget, or I want people to realize that it's important to take that on board as well.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Because obviously they are in a position where they are actually just watching from the sideline.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I mean, with my case, we'd never had anybody in our family with bowel cancer before. Oh. So it was totally new. And obviously, you yourself focus on your surgery and on your healing, but one must not forget your family members, because my youngest son was 13 at that stage. And fortunately, his school was they were really so geared up. They actually had a counselor in that looked after him for that time as well. He could share his worries that he never shared with anybody. I only found this out later on, but I thought that is so valuable, because also, especially teenagers, it's such an important time of their life, and something like that happens, they can't always speak to the parents. Yeah. They need somebody. So obviously, from what I gather now, it's not just old people or elderly people, or it's a whole spectrum of clients that you have, be it from young to old.
Absolutely. And I've had parents come in with little ones, and it's very hard, because actually it's not just the child or the little one that needs the therapy, because as a parent, but as a mother, you want to make it all better. Wave a magic wand, it'll all go away. Mm. And unfortunately, you can't.
No.
And you keep it as well. You do. You have to find a way to cope. It's a coping mechanism that just keeps you going and going and going. And when it's a parent, from my perspective, I've seen it so from such a different side of the coin. where you're having to cope with changing their bag and school, things like that. How do you manage at school? And how do we manage when we can't run around and play football, or when you have to be careful playing all these games? Mm-hmm. It's not just the person dealing with it. It's sort of a secondary. And it's amazing when you see the strength from a, particularly a parent, but there is such a huge awareness for me that, again, with the whole coping mechanism, what happens to the parent? What happens when they have a point where they can't cope and they're going and going and going along? And I use this analogy, if you imagine a volcano and it's bubbling and bubbling and bubbling, and at some point the volcano is going to erupt, but it depends how badly it erupts,
yeah,
or not. But it is going to, at some point, spill over, and that's the emotions spilling out. And so it's so important to be aware of that. And yet I do see a lot of clients who are very, very strong, but strong because they have to be. And the truth is, when someone sits with me, that's the space where it's, no, you don't have to be strong. That's okay.
Yeah.
You don't have to cry and you don't have to scream, but you can cry and you can scream, or we can just sit and chat about what it is you need to chat about. But yeah, it's everybody's different. Everybody's different.
You mentioned that because of suppressing all these emotions, there might also be underlying health issues that might occur because of that.
Mm.
You mentioned like back pain. Yep. There's a whole number of things that can be addressed. So before something like that happens, one should go and address their mental health. People should be aware of it before it becomes a problem. Yeah. And it should be one of the things that is on top of your mind all the time, that you can seek help. There are people out there to help you.
Absolutely. And I think that again, I always bring it back to coping mechanisms and managing how we're feeling. And I think when circumstances feel overwhelming and you're being able to cope helps you bring it under control. People find different ways to do it. You know, they try and fix it, or they try and do things that will take them out of that space in their head. But if you have physical pain, if you have issues, if you have problems that are going on, underlying problems, they can be general, but they can definitely be because of what you're going through psychologically.
Mm.
I think mental health exacerbates issues within your body. You can have something that lies dormant and it can just stress, can just bring it out. I know that's what happened with me.
Yeah.
But it's, you're right, it's about reaching out and saying, I want to keep this under control. So yeah, I need to get my feelings in order and find out how I get to move forward and manage, really.
Yeah. I'm so thrilled that you're today's guest. We're going to have a short commercial break and we'll be continuing this conversation.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to this podcast, so I know you've got a curious mind. Here's a helpful fact you may not know yet. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $900 on average. Pop over to progressive.com, answer some questions, and you'll get a quick quote with discounts that are easy to come by. In fact, 99% of their auto customers earn at least one discount. Visit progressive.com and see if you can enjoy a little cash back. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $946 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2024 and May 2025. Potential savings will vary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Stoma for Life. I'm chatting to Kerry Hellman. Now, we've had an in-depth discussion about not just your own journey, but also about the mental health aspect and how you actually came about being a therapist. Now, I'm really just curious to know, I mean, this is in the span of 25 years, a lot has happened. You said you are well now. You've had something like 17 surgeries. I just can't get my head around this. And I know I've read your journey, and that you've come out doing this amazing work. I mean, that's just, yeah, it's absolutely wonderful. And I commend you for what you've done so far and how many people you're going to help through your wealth of knowledge and information that you can share with them. So you said you don't just speak to ostomers themselves, but also people that are family members or friends that are dealing with their loved ones going through this.
Yeah.
I mean, you said you've been in NHS and in the colorectal field, now in private practice. I would love to have this. Whoever gets diagnosed first has to go through you. That has to first go, and this is available. I myself was not offered any counseling or anything.
Mm.
The only thing I got was a sheet where I could tick how I was feeling. And I must have been feeling okay because I was never offered anything. But there were a lot of questions that had to be answered. And I can just imagine if there are people that are really not okay. I'm sure there isn't counseling available straight away. I mean, you yourself know this. It takes time. So what happens to those people during that time?
So with regard to the NHS, mm-hmm. from what I understand, it hasn't changed very much. Mm-hmm. So there's actually a 3-year waiting list.
Oh, my gosh.
And people or patients will see the consultant. They'll then be referred if they want to be. But they have to ask. You won't just be referred for therapy,
okay.
which I find a little bit shocking.
Mm.
And they, if they choose to want to go down that route, they'll go to, or they'll ask to be seen by a therapist working there. Mm. There's normally two therapists with a caseload of, you can imagine, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of
my God. So just two therapists for, I don't know.
Where I was, yes.
Wow.
Yes. And I think it's the same in a lot of hospitals,
mm-hmm.
depending, I think, also on the type of specialist or field
mm-hmm.
that they're working in. So what happens is when you go and see someone in the psychologics department,
mm-hmm.
they will say to you, okay, yes, I think you need therapy, clearly. We'll put you on the waiting list. And as I said, it can be up to 3 years.
Wow.
And I was so frustrated with this. I mean, I myself didn't need that necessarily, but from a therapeutic perspective, it is terrible. It's beyond yeah. terrible. Okay, that's a very mild way of putting it.
Yeah.
And so with regard to what they do, where do they go? I think they try, a lot of ostomates will see general counsellors, because the truth is, if you're a good therapist, you can actually work with anything, with any issue, situation, fear that comes up within the therapeutic setting.
Mm-hmm.
But I found also a lot of ostomates have said to me, it makes such a difference talking to somebody that genuinely gets it,
mm.
understands the medical terminology, understands what I've had done, understands where I am mentally.
Mm.
And I think it makes a huge difference, certainly from my perspective, when working with ostomates, that it's there's a different connection. There's a different feeling of, yes. funnily enough, feeling safe
mm.
to talk about what I'm, yeah. what I want to talk about.
Yeah.
And I think also it is, we've said it before, it is important to reach out and get help if you need it. The fact that I am an ostomate makes a difference. But yeah. what I'm saying is, I don't decry from the fact that any therapist can
yeah.
work with a client if they're good at what they do.
Of course.
Yeah.
But you know, being an ostomate myself, the first thing I started doing when I recovered, or in my recovery, was hide my bag, obviously, because I don't want everybody to see I've got a bag. I'm actually quite flattered when I exit a disability toilet and people look at me funny and even with snotty comments, "Oh, where is your disability?" "Oh yes, it's hidden." But often you hide your emotions like that as well.
Yeah.
Because we've actually been taught from the beginning, okay, you can hide this bag. You don't want everybody to see it. Mm. But your emotions, they can't be hidden all the time. They will, like you said, with this analogy with a volcano, one day it will erupt. Mm. Be it your spouse, be it even your children.
Yeah.
They will also they will also need guidance and help.
Absolutely. When you're in a situation where you're trying to keep things under control, you're trying to manage, you're trying to cope, trying is the ultimate word.
Mm.
And what do you do with that? Where does that go? And I think it's very important to be able to, again, going back to family or you yourself, you know, when you're going through something that is so traumatic, when you're dealing with so many emotions, it's like, what do you do? How do you manage them? How do you deal with them? Mm-hmm. And the truth is, again, you find a way to cope, but there's only a certain amount of time you can cope for before things just go awry.
Yeah.
And that's when you know you're at the point where you or your loved ones might be at a point thinking, I need help. To help her or him, or I need help for myself.
Yeah. Now, I know that you're also setting up group therapies for ostomates.
Mm.
So, I mean, that's also a totally different setting to a one-on-one.
Yeah.
So, can you perhaps just share with us a group therapy session?
Sure. So it's very different to support groups, because when you go to a support group, it's people chatting. They might have speakers that come in, showing them products from different companies. They might even have a therapist come in. I went to one recently, and they'll have a cup of coffee and a biscuit. And it's a very, you know, relaxed setting. Group therapy is designed specifically to have a group of people. Normally, I'll have a group of eight, because I don't want it to be too many in there, because people want people to be able to share.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for about, I think it's for about an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. And it's really just about having that space to talk about what's really been going on. I mean, to get really visceral, to really dig deep and find out how you've been managing, how you haven't been managing. But the beauty of group therapy is not just having a qualified therapist sitting in to be able to help, comment, work on what's been said, how it's been said, why it's been said. It's also the fact that you have seven other people there who are able to say, "I get that. I went through that." Or how did you manage that? Or it's really getting down and dirty and saying, okay, let's try and work through this together. And I found that it is so beneficial.
Yeah. And so, learning.
Yes.
Learning from each other.
Absolutely. Absolutely learning from each other.
Yeah. And do you do this via Zoom, or are there physical groups where you actually get together physically? I mean, ever since COVID, we've done so much over Zoom. It's become so digitalized.
I know. So at the moment, they are physically. So they're based in Harrow in Middlesex.
Mm-hmm.
But I am in the process of arranging Zoom to make it more easily accessible.
Yeah.
For people to be able to come along, so to speak.
Perhaps you can share your website where people that are listening now could get hold of you.
Sure. So it's Parasol Counseling. I'm on LinkedIn and I'm also on Facebook. And I'm one of those people that is not very technologically minded. So I am not on Instagram at the moment, or X, formerly known as YZW. I don't know what it is. Twitter something. But if people just tap in parasolcounseling.co.uk, it will come up and it gives you all the information as to who I am. There's a video on there about what I do. And it shows you the types of groups. It shows you the different types of issues that I help with. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's pretty informative.
Yeah. Now, we've almost come to the end of the show, and I always invite my guests to also leave our listeners with something that they think is the most important lesson they have learned. On my very first show, I shared a phrase that I have learned to never, ever use in my journey. Mm-hmm. And I invite you to perhaps share with you something that you have learned through everything that you've gone through to share with our listeners.
Wow.
Maybe it's a couple of things. I'm sure it is.
I think from me personally, that it's a phrase my late mum used to say, which is, if it doesn't kill you, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And I used to think, no, I hate that phrase. But actually, what I take from that and what I'd love people to take from that is, as much as adversity that you face, you've got through. And sometimes we just have to celebrate the positives, as dark as it may be, because it will get easier. You will be able to adapt. So just find that inner strength and befriend it.
Yeah. And celebrate each little victory.
Absolutely.
Because
absolutely,
each step is a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
And I find, especially nowadays, you always have to have this perfect life. On Instagram, it's portrayed in such a way, everything's perfect. And we sort of see everybody as competition, and we want to live up to that competition. Yeah. And we also don't give ourselves credit when we have achieved little goals or milestones.
We're all individuals. We all do things differently to other people. Mm. And you're right. We need to celebrate who we are and how we manage and how we get through. And the truth is, I heard this recently, we're warriors. We've been through a lot,
a lot.
And it's okay not to be okay, but it's okay to give yourself a pat on the back once in a while.
Yeah, absolutely. Wonderfully said, Kerry. It was an absolute pleasure chatting with you.
Likewise.
I am so pleased you're part of my ostomy community now. I'm sure this is not the only interview we'll be having. I can't wait to chat to you soon again. Yes, I wish you all the best going forward.
And
thank you so much. Bye for now.
Bye.